Radha Krishna Gova Govinda Shyama Pandarada Kati Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadab Dham Ki Jai Gang Jona Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Nanda Gauri Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai Samavetta Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Go Premanandi All Glories to Some of the Bodhis All Glories to Some of the Bodhis All Glories to Some of the Bodhis All Glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guru All Glories to the Bodhis Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo Vishvadaya Krishna Samale Shumari Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivashayashin Vai Vastatri Shadavane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Sri Vedanta Shivasa Prabhupada Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Reading from Canto 4, Chapter 7, Verse 36 Yachamani Uvacha
Swagatam
Swagatam Te Prasidesha
Prasidesha
Rubyam
Namah
Srinivasa
Shriya
Kantaya
Trahi
Na
Tvam
Prate
Disha
Nangaya
Makka
Sobate
Sirsha
Ina
Ka
Bandhu
Yatta
Purusha
Yajaman
Vacha
Swagatam te prasidesha
tubhyam
namaha Swagatam te prasidesha tubhyam namaha
Srinivasa Shriya Kantaya Trahina
Srinivasa Shriya Kantaya Trahina
Tvamrate Disha Nangar Makka Sobhate
Tvamrate Disha Nangar Makka
Sobhate Ashirsha Hina Ka Bandho Yata Purusha
Swapadam
Because
the life force is already gone. Similarly, any aristocracy, any social prestige or any advancement of material civilization without Krishna consciousness is as good as a decoration of a dead body. The name of the wife of Daksha was Prasuti, and she was the daughter of Swayam Rupamana. Her sister Devahuti was married to Kardamamuni and fulfilled their personality of God and became their son. Prasuti then was the aunt of Lord Vishnu. She was asking the favor of Lord Vishnu in an affectionate mode. Since she was his aunt, she sought some special favor. Another significant, also significant in this verse is that the Lord is praised with the goddess of fortune. Whenever Lord Vishnu is worshipped naturally, there is favor of the goddess of fortune. Lord Vishnu is addressed as Amrita, transcendental. Demigods, including Brahma and Lord Shiva, were produced after the creation. Lord Vishnu existed before the creation. He is addressed, therefore, as Amrita. Lord Vishnu is worshipped with his internal energy by the Vaishnavas. Prasuti, the wife of Daksha, implored the Lord to turn the priests into Vaishnavas instead of simply voodoo workers performing sacrifices for some material benefits. The wife of Daksha prayed as follows: "My dear Lord, as the very portion of you appeared in this arena of sacrifice and offering respectful obeisances unto you, and I request that you be pleased on this occasion. The sacrificial arena is not beautiful without you, just as the body is not beautiful without the head." So previously they held a sacrifice and all the prominent persons were there, and even Lord Devadas came and Lord Shiva came. But unfortunately the sacrifice ended in disaster with the big quarrel. So the point is that no matter who is present and who is worshipped, if the Supreme Lord is not there, then it is a failure. So here Daksha's wife is stating that the presence of Vishnu is necessary in the sacrifice. Then it becomes completely successful. So that is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, that without the Lord, every other process becomes meaningless. So all karma yoga, jnana yoga, sattva yoga, or whatever other process there is, if it does not have Vishnu in it, then it is useless. It actually doesn't give proper results. In other words, everything is dependent upon the Supreme Lord. What does that mean? It means that respect has to be given to the Supreme Lord. Everyone has to understand his position, even though they may do many activities and worship many devatas in the sacrifice. Still, they must recognize the supreme position of Vishnu. If they see him as a devata, then this is also offensive. This is not proper. He has a very special position beyond the devatas. So simply to regard him as a devata like Brahma or whatever is not proper. So they have to worship him with a very special position. So that is what the wife of Daksha is pointing out here, that Lord has a special position. So in this particular circumstance, the Lord appeared personally. Vishnu appeared in the sacrifice itself. So this was quite a special occasion. Usually the Lord himself does not appear, but one must worship him anyway. But just to show the actual purpose of sacrifice, the Lord made his appearance here. So this was a special honor given to the people present. So the sacrifice or any type of karma that one does must include the worship of Vishnu. That is, if we look in the Vedas, we will see that Vishnu is the most prominent person there. Though many devatas were mentioned, like Agni and Varuna and Indra, etc., nevertheless, Vishnu is the most prominent. So not only is the most prominent, but without Vishnu, everything becomes useless. So the offered sacrifices often praise devatas and make offerings to them. But those sacrifices also have to recognize the supreme position of Vishnu and make offerings to him. So the proper process of offering is to offer the prasadam of Vishnu to everyone else. If we offer independently, then we recognize them as independent entities. So the proper process is to recognize the Supreme Lord first. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says that people often follow worship devatas, and they do worship. And then the answer to that is, well, the devatas are mentioned in the scriptures, so we should worship them. So then in counter answer to that, then the Lord says, but actually, it is avidhi purvakam. They're not doing it properly. They may want to worship, because the scripture says worship, but they're not doing it in the proper way. It doesn't mean they cannot worship devatas, but they're not doing it properly. So, proper way is to recognize Vishnu as the supreme entity of the sacrifice for worship. Then they can worship the devatas. So the devatas get worship as the servants of the Supreme Lord. They also have power, and they're given respect, but they must be put in their position and shown that they're not supreme. So, if that is done, then the Lord has no objection. But he does have objection if they independently worship devatas as supreme. And that is called avidhi, the wrong way of doing things. So the proper way is to worship the Lord and recognize his position, and then worship the devatas as secondary elements and offer prasad of Vishnu to the devatas. So that can be done. On a higher level, of course, then the Bhagavad also says, reject everything. Don't worship devatas. And Krishna doesn't buy either. Worship only me. Don't worship anybody else. So, even if one does not worship the devatas, even though it is stated in the Vedic literature, and one only worships the Supreme Lord Vishnu and Krishna, still, there is no fault in that. That is also not a vidhi. So one can worship the devatas as subordinate to the Lord, or one can simply worship the Lord and not worship the devatas. So that also is permitted. The devotee who is solely dedicated to the Supreme Lord feels there is no time to worship anybody else. He is so blissful in worshiping the Lord that he feels everything else is a waste of time, so therefore he neglects everything else. But he incurs no sin by neglecting these other types of worship, even though they're mentioned in the scriptures. So that also is the conclusion of Bhagavatam. If you only worship the Lord and don't worship anyone, there's no fault. If you worship everyone else and don't worship Vishnu, then it is faulty. So this goes to show the importance of the worship of the Supreme Lord. So the example here is given of a body without a head. So the body without the head cannot survive. And similarly, in the material world, Vishnu is the root of everything. So without him, the material world cannot really survive. So even if one doesn't worship the Lord is carrying out his activities. The Lord is the supporter of the material world. He is the maintainer. And if he doesn't do that, then everything falls to pieces. But one who's intelligent will recognize the Lord. Animals and plants don't recognize because they don't have the intelligence. Nevertheless, the Lord carries out his functions and he supports everybody. Human being has intelligence and therefore he should worship the Lord. So that is the difference between the animals and the human being. Human being has the ability to recognize the Lord and worship the Lord, and therefore he should do that. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that therefore you must worship Vishnu in sacrifice and understand that he is supreme. And if you do that, then your material life can be successful. And if you don't do that, then your life will become failure. So that is similar to saying the body must have the head. So if one recognizes the Supreme Lord, then the functions are carried out nicely. So animals and plants don't have to worship the Lord. Why the human being has to do that? Why we have more problems? We have to do more things than the animals. Yes, that is true. Because the human being has more abilities, and therefore his duties are more. He has more duties because he has more intelligence. So therefore, the human beings are ordered to worship Vishnu, not the animals. So if the human beings do this, then they become peaceful. And as Krishna says, I supply the rain, etc., and you get the food. And if one doesn't do that, then no rain. But the animals don't worship Vishnu, and they get their food. Why is that? So there's special conditions for the human being. But this is also natural because the human being, even though we can say, well, if the human being acts like an animal, then what's the problem? Then he can just go on like animals and get his food or whatever. Unfortunately, the human being, even if he wants to act like an animal, doesn't really act like an animal. He acts worse than an animal. So this is the problem with the human being. He can become worse than animal, not just like animal. If he were just to act without intelligence and be like animal, fine. But if he acts worse than animal, this is a problem. So acting worse than animal is that human being commits sinful activities. He goes beyond his limits, or he does what animals don't do. He goes beyond those limits and commits sin. That is the ability of the human being because of his intelligence and uncontrolled senses. Animals don't have that intelligence, therefore they cannot commit those sins. They act in a very limited way, each animal. And they don't go beyond that. Human beings can do anything. And therefore they commit all sorts of sinful activity, therefore they suffer. And they cause suffering to the world. So the human being has to be very careful to regulate the mind. And therefore instructions are given to worship the Supreme Lord. And if one does that, then one is saved. If one doesn't, then one is subject to uncontrolled mind and senses, sinful activity, suffering for themselves and for the whole world. So the instructions of the scriptures are very important for the human being. If one wants to worship, you can worship David, that's fine, but if we're most intelligent, then we will worship the Supreme Person. Why worship the second or the third or the fourth person? Worship the Supreme Person. So that is why the injunction is given that one should worship the Supreme Lord rather than everyone else. Yes, it is good to respect evidence, but one should be intelligent enough to respect, above all, the highest person. So therefore the injunction is that one must worship Vishnu in the sacrifice. So that is what the wife of Daksha is saying here, that the sacrifice actually becomes successful by worship and recognition of Vishnu. If Vishnu is there, then everything becomes proper. So this is actually a very simple principle to understand, but at the same time, this is something that everybody forgets. So we have to remember this.
The highest in the spiritual world is the Golagadha, and below is the Haridha. Then Haridham and Devi Dham. So Haridham is also, what is there in the Haridham? More elevated spiritual people are there.
Haridham, that's Vaikuntha.
Yes, Vaikuntha.
Yeah. People that worship Vishnu go there. Yeah. Or avatar forms.
Just like I think There's no problems with community civil activities. If something goes wrong, then they realize that it's been seen in this case also. Later when all these problems happen, later they're not realizing and feeling guilty.
Well, this is the nature of limited intelligence in human life, that we don't learn except by hard experience. When we suffer, and then we learn. So that is why karma is there. When you suffer, then you learn. When you don't suffer, you don't pay attention. So this is the unfortunate position of the human being, that sometimes he only reacts to pain. So therefore, he gets pain in terms of karma, etc. Then he begins to think and listen a little bit. If one is more intelligent, of course, then one will automatically do things. And we can get intelligence from scripture. But unfortunately, if we reject scripture, then we have to learn the hard way.
Transcendentally about the bodily and mental activities.
Mm-hmm.
Then one can develop the qualities of pure devotees, isn't it?
Well, one doesn't have to be transcendental first. We can start from any position. So even the Mlecho or the Chandala can also practice bhakti. Everyone can practice bhakti as a human being. Of course, it can affect even the animals and plants. They can't really practice, but they get the benefit of bhakti also. So Shivananda's dog got the benefit of bhakti also, taking the prasadam, etc. So everyone gets advantage from bhakti, and human beings, anybody, has the qualification to practice it, not just people who are pure. But the process of bhakti purifies everybody also. Krishna and Vishnu. That's the difference.
Sometimes the Gosha was sitting here, Rama, they go to Ayodhya.
Yeah.
But Ayodhya, Gosha was sitting here, Rama, they go to Ayodhya.
Yeah.
Any difference?
The difference is you worship a different form of the Lord. And the different forms of the Lord have different amounts of manifested qualities. So Rama does not have the same qualities of Krishna. All forms of God have common qualities, but they also have some particular qualities which are different. So Rama doesn't play a flute, Rama doesn't have rasa dance, so many things that Rama does not do. So he has a particular mood, and he manifests certain relationships with his devotees. Krishna manifests different moods and different relationships, or more relationships.
Thank you.